Moses Show on Sports Radio 1560 The Fan. You can be a part of the conversation at 321-984-1234. Now, here's your host, Mark Moses.
Good afternoon and welcome. Welcome indeed to a Wednesday edition of the Mark Moses Show, only right here, yes, on 1560 The Fan. Let's get right into it. There's a lot going on in the world of sports, like, you know, Stanley Cup playoffs, NBA playoffs. Heat won last night. They did to take a 3-2 series lead against Philadelphia. And yes, I think the Heat just scored again for the 900th time on Philadelphia. But we cannot start there. We have to start with one of the dumbest things I have seen in the last 24 hours. We should keep it for day and dumb, but I think you have to start the show with it. And it is the Miami Dolphins, who on Twitter, and I want to make sure I have the time correct here. This was posted last night, May 10th, Tuesday night, 9:02 p.m. Eastern Time. And it says, dot at Tua, so Tua's account, then a rocket ship emoji at Cheetah. So I'm trying to make sure this sounds articulate on the air. They posted a video, and the caption says, Tua rocket to Tyreek Hill. When you watch the video, it is a slow-mo from a practice that the Dolphins had earlier in the day, where Tua Tagovailoa is throwing the football. He's in shorts in the red one jersey, so you can't hit him. He's throwing a deep bomb to Tyreek Hill in the video, and it looks cool. You know, these are every Twitter video where, you know, everything's better than it actually is. And this one, it's Tua launching a long pass and then Cheetah catching it. And the point of the video is, okay, if you're a Dolphins fan, this is going to get you hyped for the fall. This is exciting. Here is our big-time quarterback that we took in the first round of the 2020 NFL Draft, fifth overall. And this is him throwing a deep pass to the big wide receiver, Super Bowl champion, Pro Bowler, future Hall of Fame wide receiver we stole from the Kansas City Chiefs. This is the big connection you're going to get this fall. Fins up. Let's go, Dolphins. But there's one problem with the video. The throw by Tua. You could have shown any video you wanted. You could have shown a photo. You could have done whatever you wanted if you're the Dolphins marketing team. The throw they do is Tua is launching it as hard as he can. And when the ball comes towards Tyreek Hill, you can see that the ball is underthrown and that Tyreek Hill is not in stride catching the ball. He has to stop and wait for it, then catches it, then starts running. That's the best video you could have produced to hype the Dolphins fans. Are you kidding me? This is a joke. Really? And this is the number one thing I said, and my number one concern when they made this trade is Tyreek Hill is very excited to be in South Florida. Trust me, being on South Beach is a lot more exciting and fun than Kansas City, Missouri. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to play for the Dolphins, and I got my big contract, and I got something to prove. Yay! There's one problem. You're not bringing Patrick Mahomes with you. Now you have Tua, who's proven nothing in the NFL. Tua's a nice guy. He's not Patrick Mahomes. Problem is, most quarterbacks are not Patrick Mahomes. He's a once-in-a-generation quarterback. That's your best throw in practice. No one's rushing at you. Like, in a game, you're going to have, you know, that clock, like, all right, I got 2 seconds to throw this ball. He could just throw it whenever he wants. That's the best video you could have posted. This is not good. And what's funny is Dolphins fans are like, oh, well, you know, here's some videos where, you know, Patrick Mahomes was running around the pocket and then he chucked it up for Tyreek Hill. And, you know, Tyreek Hill had to come back for the ball and he got it. No. This is where Tyreek Hill, I think, is going to be a good soldier until halfway through the season when he doesn't get the ball. Like, if you're a wide receiver and you're accustomed to playing with a Patrick Mahomes, an Aaron Rodgers, a Tom Brady, you're like, hey, my quarterback can make every throw. My quarterback can get me the ball when I need the ball. And we're going to win a lot of football games. We're going to find out if Tua can be that guy. Because the Dolphins have decided, hey, you are our quarterback. We're going to get you weapons. You got Jalen Waddle in the draft, who had an exceptional. I mean, I think it's kind of shocking the stats that he put up in this offense. When he didn't know who the quarterback was going to be from week to week due to injury. You look at Jalen Waddle, around 100 catches last year. That's phenomenal for a rookie. And then you add Tyreek Hill, one of the most dangerous weapons in the NFL. Those are your two big-time wide receivers. It's all on Tua. All of it. All the pressure's on Tua. He's got to produce. We got you the weapons. We're going to try to help the offensive line. I mean, they updated the running back position the other day. All they're doing is updating everything around Tua. Now, could Tua produce? It's so startling. You watch that video. And maybe I'm taking this out of context where it's like, Mark, just chill out. Wait till the fall. But that's the best throw you could have gotten with Tua throwing the ball to Tyreek Hill. Are you kidding me? It is not good. I say this all the time. When you watch college football, there's a big difference in the ball that's in the air compared to the NFL. In college, the defense is not as fast. So if you're a quarterback, you can wobble the ball. And what I mean is, there's a deep throw, you got a guy down the field. You can like underthrow him, or it doesn't have to be the perfect spiral, and it can still get there and you can have a first down or you could score a touchdown. NFL, no way. No way. If that ball is wobbly in the air, if that ball's underthrown, if it's not on target, most times it's going to get picked off or it's going to be incomplete. There's a huge difference. You don't see it if you're in the nosebleeds. Sometimes you don't see it on TV because the camera. When you're there in person and you're up close, you see the difference between a great and good and awful quarterback. You see it. And right now, Tua could be a good quarterback, but he needs to prove with the weapons around him that he could be a great quarterback. I mean, there's a thing here where it's like, if he struggles out of the gate with all these weapons and all the investment that this front office made, I would not be shocked halfway through if you have to go to Teddy Bridgewater. I'm sorry. And honestly, you look at the way Tua has not been durable the first 2 years, where you had to go to Jacoby Brissett, and before that you had to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I am getting mentally prepared for Tua and Teddy Bridgewater. And again, I say all these things. And I like Tua, and I hope he succeeds. I really do. But you better get that ball. I can't stress this enough. You better get that ball to Tyreek Hill. And that ball better be there on time. It better be. And again, and I've told this to multiple guests, if this franchise would have taken Justin Herbert with the fifth pick in 2020, it'd be nonstop Dolphins talk on this show. There'd be no other headlines. If it was Justin Herbert with the Dan Marino cannon arm, and he's throwing to Jalen Waddle, and then he's throwing to Tyreek Hill, forget the Buccaneers. Forget what Tom Brady's doing. Or Trevor Lawrence is with the Jaguars. Forget it. It'd be Dolphins 24-7 on this show. And the whole state. Like, if the Dolphins were a consistent winner, kicking ass, winning the division, making deep playoff runs, there would be no other topics on this show. I'm sorry, we're not breaking down Buccaneers and Falcons in week 5. We're not. It'd be Dolphins all the time. If they would have gotten their franchise quarterback, it would have been Dolphins 24-7. Now, we'll say this. Justin Herbert has been very exciting. He's put up great fantasy stats. He hasn't gotten to the playoffs either. He's gotten close. They haven't been to the playoffs either. So if you're going to win losses, honestly, he hasn't broken through yet. He's not started a playoff game. Neither has Tua. This is a big year. Big, big year for Mr. Tua, number one under center for the Miami Dolphins. And I'm just saying, and I can't believe I'm going 10 minutes on this, but that ball, it better get there. This is very important here. You better get the ball to the playmakers this fall. I can't wait. Can't wait. I want to go to training camp in July and August. I know there, at the training facility for the Dolphins. It'll be 9,000 degrees if we go to training camp, but better get that ball there. Better get it to him. And I could see by midseason, if Tyreek Hill is not getting his fantasy stats that he's accustomed to like he did for the last 4 years with the Kansas City Chiefs, this is not going to be pretty. It is not. If I'm a wide receiver, I'd have the mentality of, I want the ball, I want it now, let's rock and roll. Who's getting me the football? That's what I think about. Tyreek Hill, again, and I said this on the day that he got traded to the Dolphins, I think he's going to be a good soldier. I think he's going to be motivated to do great things. But you better get him the football, right? And I know Jalen Waddle is a big part of this offense, but Tyreek Hill's got alpha dog mentality. He wants the ball on every play. And he wants to prove to everyone that he is still the real deal. Question is, can Tua get him the ball? That's what I need to know. That's what it has to be. Who's the running back they got? Was it Sony Michel? Is that who they picked up? They're still making moves. I like it. I really do. And also, real quick, the Miami Heat, they got back. They got back in a big way. I think they're still angry about that Game 4 loss. They hammered the Philadelphia 76ers last night. Hammered them. Hammered them. And I think what makes them scary when they're on, I like that three-man kind of backcourt, kind of, where it's like Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, and Victor Oladipo. I like that three-headed monster. And then you got Bam Adebayo down low doing all the dirty work. And then you got a lot of these role players like, yeah, they look like the one seed. The problem is the Miami Heat, they have looked unstoppable at home. They've looked shaky on the road. That's what's happened so far. I would not be shocked if Philadelphia wins game 6. I would not. Would not be shocked by this. I could see us going 7. We're just home court is the difference. And then if they go to 7, I'm taking the Heat again. That's how I look at it. Miami Heat are one win away. And if they knock off the 76ers, then I'm sorry. The window for the 76ers is closed. I'm sorry. They can't win. They can't win with this current lineup. I know they're going to run it back. They're going to try to do it again. Can't win. Can't do it. I mean, if you're Joel Embiid, I get it. You're wearing the mask. And I look, last week, you know, I said this is Joel Embiid should be the MVP. What he brings to the table. He has been great, and he's really, really helped the Sixers in this series when he could play, but it's not enough. The 76ers, they really blew it in the NBA draft. Taking Markel Fultz is one of the worst decisions ever in the history of the NBA draft. It's a horrible bust. Even though he could salvage his career and still be good for the Magic, he is one of the worst first picks in the draft of all time. For the Sixers, he is. The other one they took at number one is Ben Simmons. That's why they're not competing for the Larry O'Brien trophy. They had two number one picks in a couple years, and they botched both of them, and neither play for the franchise. That's the reason why they're probably going to go home. That's the difference. It's a great what if. Really, it's a great what if, but the what if is you guys can't win. And Harden put in one great game. What was that, Monday night? Or no, Sunday night. Put in one great game, scored 30 points or so, and then he didn't show last night. That's the inconsistency of a former MVP. This is very sad. Unless you're the Miami Heat. One more to go. And I told this yesterday to Chris Pirtle, and I stay by this comment. Honestly, I feel like the Warriors, I think they're going to get to the NBA Finals. I know they're going to take on the Phoenix Suns. I know I'm getting ahead of myself here. I think it's Suns and Warriors for the West, and I think the Warriors are going to get there to the Finals again. And the East, I have no idea. Like, none. Still could be Philadelphia, could be Miami, Boston, Milwaukee. I have no idea who's coming out of the East. That makes it very exciting. But right now, the Heat just scored again. And they just hit another three. Yep, that's right. That is correct. And by the way, you know what I did also? I watched Winning Time, as we've been talking about for a couple days now. I binge watched the whole thing in about, 4 days all 10 episodes there on HBO. So I went back and I rewatched the 30 for 30 on Lakers Celtics, breaking down pretty much Magic versus Bird. That's what it's really about. And it's fascinating. So the timeline is, and I think everyone knows this. So the timeline is, and this just shows you how dominant these two teams were. So 1980, Lakers won the title. 81, Celtics won the title. 82, Lakers won the title. 83, neither team wins the title. 84, Celtics beat Lakers. 85, Lakers beat Celtics. 86, Celtics make the finals beating the Rockets. And that was their, 67-win team with Bill Walton. They were so loaded. That was 86. 87, Lakers beat up the Celtics in the final. That's the skyhook shot in Game 4 by Magic. Then that was kind of the end of the Boston Celtics. 88, Lakers went back-to-back, and then that's it. And then the Bad Boy Pistons show up. Yep. That's a hell of a run. That's a full decade. I'm trying to think. If you think of the NBA, all right, let's see. If you go to the 2000s, the Lakers went to, Lakers kind of dominated the 2000s where they won 0-0, 0-1, 0-2. Then they go back to the finals in 04. They don't win. Then in 08, they get back to the finals. They lose to the Celtics. 09, they beat the Magic. And 10, they beat the Celtics. For 10 years, it's like they're in five of them. Man, it's good to be the Lakers. And we'll get this guy who coming up next who loves the Lakers. He's my good friend, Eric De Niro. He wasn't here last week. We got to bring back some celebrity cheddar. We'll do it next here on the show.